Welcome to the Seagull Eagle podcast, the only podcast where a Palace fan and a Brighton fan can talk football without throwing things.
He's Brighton, I'm Palace, neighbours, rivals and occasionally civilised adults. It's a miracle, really.
This week, we're diving into the big topics. Palace's European hiccup, is it bad regulations, bad admin or just bad luck?
We'll also try to figure out what on earth the FIFA Club World Cup actually is and if we're even meant to care.
We dive into transfer rumours for both clubs, separating out the maybes, the definitely nots and the who even made that up?
And we've got another round of fight or flight. Will we fight to keep our stars or let them fly away? This is Seagull Eagle. All right, Neil, how you doing?
I'm all right, mate. Thank you. Yeah, how are you? Have you had a good week?
Using my own lines against me. Yeah, I have actually. It's been all right. And looking forward to being back in the studio again and talking about all of the updates that we've had for the last week. Obviously, no games again. We're out of season. However, lots and lots to talk about still, right?
Absolutely. So much to talk about. I've had a lovely week as well. Thanks for asking, by the way.
Wasn't interested.
Great. I went to Devon for the weekend, long weekend, got some nice sun rays, absolutely beautiful with my beautiful wife, had a lovely time, and now I'm back in a room with you.
Well, listen, just I want to share with the readers, nothing says civilised neighbours more than one neighbour buying another neighbour fudge for taking the bins out. I mean, that's what's happened here.
Don't ever say I don't give you anything.
Do you know what I'm saying? There you go. That's what life being neighbours is all about. Fudge from Devon. Thank you very much, Neil.
You're very welcome. It. So what should we talk about first?
Right. Let's kick things off and have a look at some of the new stories. And obviously,
come on.
It's
come
something
on.
You want to talk about, which is the update, I guess, on the ongoing Crystal Palace versus the Europa League saga. Hopefully that doesn't turn into a trial. Now,
just waiting for the Netflix special.
Exactly. I'm sure there probably will be. So a lot's happened since we spoke last because there was actually some kind of pretty quick developments that happened after we spoke last.
Okay.
So UEFA rejected Textor's offer to move his Palace stake into a blind trust, right? So, and that was because they missed the March the 1st deadline, which we already know. We already spoke about the fact that we hadn't even won the cup by then, blah, 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 right? Since then, obviously, Nottingham Forest, who could be promoted into the Europa League if Palace get banned, rubbish, but if they do, they've now got involved, as I'm sure half the world knows, that they've written to UEFA and there's rumours that they might appeal to CAS if Palace are cleared.
Little weasels.
Mate, honestly.
Come on, that is, even Albion don't do that.
Well, do you know what? I mean, look, on the surface, it sounds like a pretty crappy move, doesn't it? Like
on the surface?
Well, this is the thing though, because I'm trying to be subjective about it. And my initial reaction was the same as yours, which is, where is he? How can we get to him? Right? But then I was thinking to myself, hang on a minute. Palace are in this situation we're in now, where we're in this limbo land a little bit, where players might not sign contracts, players might not come in, we don't know how much money we've got to spend, we don't know whether everyone's going to stay or go, because people are still going, are we in Europe or we're not in Europe, right? And I guess from a Nottingham Forest perspective, they've now obviously got very interested in that, because they're playing in the
Conference League.
Sorry, I was going to call it the Crappy League. The Conference League, the one that West Ham won. Obviously, we'll be promoted into the Europa League by default if Palace obviously don't end up in it. Now, that, for me, this kind of letter that has been sent in, no one knows what's in the letter, right? And I guess it could just be what happens if Palace get kicked out. When do we find out, right? What I'm not assuming is that the owner's gone, so tell me more about Crystal Palace being kicked out. I think it should be for these exact reasons. I put my stuff in a blind trust. Why didn't they? They should have stuck to the rules. They must be kicked out. We don't know that that's what was in the letter.
Andy, there is no reason for anyone to send in a letter to Jim will fix it. There is no reason to send in a letter to go, oh, just wondering what's going on, please. Oh, just wondering, could you please let Palace be in the Europa League? That's not happening, is it? We all know what it is.
No, do you know what, Lil? You were absolutely
it's
right.
It's just being a weasel.
You're absolutely right.
It's
Why am I giving him the benefit of the doubt? He is an absolute... I just don't know why he's done it. I've tried to be
Well, no,
nice
we do know why
it.
He's done it, mate. It's money and it's trying to get one up as much as possible. Look, there may be instances in the past where this might have worked, okay? And this letter might still work. It might still help him and his club in certain ways, but it does not look good. The optics are terrible. Even Brighton of Albion don't do that sort of thing. There was even an unofficial quote. I won't say from who from,
okay,
but I'm aware of a quote from someone quite high up in the Albion that said that that's not what we're about. Palace won their spot. They deserve it. If something happens outside of their control and it's outside of our control, so be it. But at this precise moment in time, we're not going to do more to try and make things worse for any club. That's not what this is about.
Yeah.
And I just think that is that really got me angry when I saw it. I know, it's funny because it's not my club.
No, I get
it. So I can understand... But I can understand why you feel that way.
Yeah, and as I said, look, we don't know what was in the letter, but you're right. The fact that they've even got involved, and obviously the media take all of this and kind of screw it all up into a little ball and then throw it out there and it gets bigger and bigger. And yeah. It's like it just turns into this thing. And they're obviously saying that they're potentially going to take it to court and all this. I mean, it's like,
well,
who's
yeah.
actually said that? I don't know. We well, don't know any of it.
No,
factual, do
no,
we?
But they're suggesting that if a decision does come in and it rules in favour of Palace,
yes,
that there is a strong opportunity for Nottingham Forest then to appeal it to the Court of Arbitration of Sport, which yeah. is the CAS. And I just think whichever way this goes, it seems like now that there is a chance that it will go to CAS anyway, because whichever way it goes, someone won't be happy with this decision. The problem is there's other things going on around the environment of football at the moment where there are other clubs currently having problems when it comes to multi-club ownership, isn't there?
Well, there absolutely is. You've got the, is it Drogheda United?
I have no idea how to pronounce that name. Well,
that is what it is now because I've said it.
Okay.
It's simple as that.
Drogheda.
That is now their name.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter anyway because they're not in Europe, so not many people are going to hear it. Bless
wow.
them. I feel really bad for them. I genuinely
yeah.
do. So obviously that's now a thing that has happened. And obviously every news article has linked the two together.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's understandable. So they've been chucked out of the Conference League.
Correct.
Because another club, multi-owned club, was in the Conference League.
Yeah.
So they weren't in the same competition in that sense. Weren't in the same competition as Palace, not the Europa League.
No,
it's
no,
only
no.
the Conference League.
The Conference League.
But still, the same rules apply, obviously.
Same rules apply, but the same situation doesn't apply,
yeah.
Which is that there's no more complicated issues like Palace have got, mm. where it's a minority stake and voting
yeah,
rights
stuff,
and all the
yeah.
other stuff. It's a clear... in essence, it's I guess it's a Man City, is it Girona that they own as well? And it's that kind of situation, apart from they didn't do the blind trust.
Okay, so look, let's get back to Palace for a second. What is happening now? What are Palace trying to do? I'm presuming John Textor is still trying to do something about his shares.
Well, yeah, look, I mean, I guess the update that I've kind of heard is that UEFA have contacted Palace after the meeting and they've asked for follow-up questions,
mm-hmm.
which I think... Personally, I see that as a positive sign.
Yeah,
because it's not been an immediate.
I agree. Yeah, they're looking for a way to try and make it work.
Exactly, and from that, I think a lot of the experts are suggesting exactly what you said, which is that UEFA will and have history of trying to find a way to make things work
right.
if there is any kind of way to do it legally and above board, then I think I'm hoping that they will find the right solution.
Yeah.
I think if there's a clear breach for any kind of sporting gain, then that's when you end up with an issue,
yeah.
right?
Okay.
And I think it's clear that obviously Palace aren't trying to gain any kind of sporting gain or advantage out of this. But yes, there's some very strange things going on in terms of Textor
yeah.
now.
Okay.
So much so, I would use the word erratic, from my perspective, because there's many different angles it looks like being explored Which I guess is a sensible option if you want to...
Well, because time's of an issue, isn't it? So, you know, he needs to do something quick. So I presume scattergun approach is probably a good approach at this moment.
Maybe the only approach. I mean, look, he's rumoured to be trying to sell his shares. We've been linked with various different people.
Right.
Ironically, no new people. These are all people that were being talked about as potential investors in the club prior to all of this happening.
That's sensible though, isn't it? Because it's the people that are already interested. But yeah. Can you do a quick sale, I suppose?
Well, probably not. We'll talk about that in a minute. I mean, look, NFL owner Woody Johnson has reportedly offered $190 million this week, which I believe is short of what Texter wanted.
Do we have any clue as to what he wants? I mean, because surely the price is going to have to go down because he's in dire need of selling now, isn't he? I mean... It's a really strange situation because it doesn't bode well for the seller because everybody knows that he needs to sell for the good of the club.
Well, I mean, what we do know is, doing a quick add up, it looks like he spent somewhere in the region of £180 million on Palace over the last 4 years.
Of his own money?
Yeah. So he's in for quite a bit of money.
Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Neil, and he's obviously not going to want to walk away with a loss, but also it's very clear and apparent that he wants this to be resolved and he doesn't want to be the man to to have the face behind the issue with Europe. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it'd be awful, wouldn't it, if his face is linked to that and his name's linked to that. So, yeah, we've got, obviously, Woody Johnson, as I said earlier, but then we've also got NBA star Jimmy Butler, and, of course, the Sports Bank Consortium, who are also part of a rival bid, which was exactly the same situation, as I said, we were in before. They were already being discussed. I think Texter is kind of rumoured to prefer to sell to the current shareholders, obviously the rest of the board, which is Josh Harris and David Blitzer. They're obviously, Blitzer is the one that owns the, I believe it's that Danish club that's in the Conference League. It's that obviously seems like the most obvious and easy option, right? They're already cleared to be involved in the club because they have to go through all of them checks. In essence, they wouldn't be buying a stake in a club. They'd be increasing their own stake.
Yeah, totally.
So that seems to be the easiest option. However, they can't agree on a price and haven't been able to prior to this. So given the fact that he spent all of that money and he's trying to get it all sorted, option two, apart from trying to get someone else to buy it, is this latest twist that came as of Monday this week.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Which is that he's taking his holding company, Eagle Football, public in the US. The initial public offering, IPO, allow anyone to buy shares in the side.
Right.
Right? So there is a statement, which I delved deep to find last night, funny enough, to try and get more information in this. So I kind of went into quite a few, business websites and things like this to try and find an actual statement for the release of the IPO, because they normally would do that as part of the process. So it's not kind of...
Hey, working late night for Seagull Eagle.
Well, mate, this is not something that you'd find on, on Google with, on the sports section, is it? So you have to delve. But anyway, what he said is Eagle Football Holdings announced that it has confidentially submitted a draft registration statement on Form S-1, Neil. You know Form S-1,
don't
you?
Oh, not the Form S-1. Wow.
To the US Securities and Exchange Commission, i.e. the SEC, relating to the proposed initial public offering of its ordinary shares, right? Mm. So in essence, he thinks that another way around this whole situation would be to say,
yeah,
I could potentially this time next week have a stake at the club.
Absolutely, yeah.
Are you going to buy a bit?
Yes, I will. Yeah, I'm happy to invest. And with a bit of luck, I could drum up enough business that we could get enough Seagull fans together to buy a holding stake of Palace and take over the club. And you know what I'd do with it?
Tell me, Neil, what would you do with it? Enjoy being in Europe because you're not currently.
I'd make sure it was definitely multi-club owned.
Yeah, I bet you would. I bet you would. So look, I think all we have got out of that whole situation is absolute chaos, and it's a ridiculous situation. But let's see what happens. Wow. I'm still confident that it's all going to be okay.
I'm just loving the fact that it's just still rumbling on. I mean, it's watching on the sideline. It's funny, obviously, as the position that I sit in. But at the same time, just the amount of stress it must be giving to Palace fans and the impact that it's having on the club, I presume, as well, when it comes to, you know, signings, which we can talk about in this episode. But yeah, the all-round sort of stress levels of the club must be quite high at the moment because of this situation, even though outwardly they're saying, oh no, everything's fine, you know. But inwardly there's going to be problems. There's going to be a lot of people worried about what's going to happen next. But we'll do our best here on Seagull Eagle to keep you up to date with everything that's going on. And I don't think there's anything else we can talk about at the moment on the subject apart from stay tuned. And when we hear something, we'll tell you.
And imagine just, lest, you know, reviewing this after it's all over and exactly what Parrish and Texter and the rest of the board said to start with was in fact the case.
Yeah.
And how stupid everyone's going to look for getting involved in this big media storm that has happened since. But do you know what? That's what football's all about, the stories that go with it.
Absolutely. But just another point, though.
Go on.
Just going back to that first point. Shame on you, Forrest. Shame on you.
Oh, it's disgraceful. And do you imagine, right, this is what I keep forgetting about all of this. Mm. You know, like, all of these, like, football owners, you see them as these kind of, these big figures who sit up in the gods, you know, at the football stadiums and occasionally do an interview, or these days, like, might go on a podcast or whatever. But we forget that they all have to sit in a room together for these regular meetings for the Premier League and all that. You can imagine that, can't you? Steve Parrish and matey boy from Nottingham Forest, who, you know, had a public outburst on the pitch to his manager, who just had his best ever season in the world ever. And then now he's writing letters annoying Steve Parrish. And then they're going to have a little argument over a sausage roll at a buffet. Like, it really amuses me.
Yeah, it's crazy though, isn't it?
I'm looking forward to Nottingham Forest coming to visit us this season anyway, because that's going to be fun.
Yeah, I agree.
That's going to be fun.
People don't forget, do they?
Oh, no.
Well, look, speaking of Marinakis, and not Nottingham Forest, but the other club that he owns, Brighton had some news this week about Brighton and Olympiacos doing some business. Should we move on and talk about signings?
Oh, is that the club for in the Blind Trust? Or is it Nottingham Forest? Which one of the two? I don't know. Anyway, move on. Signings. Yes, Neil, you've done a bit of early business, haven't you?
We've done a lot of early business, to be honest. So last week I sat here and I talked about transfer rumours. Well, Andy,
did you get it right?
The club has come good, and those rumours are no longer rumours. They are confirmed as of today. So we have...
Can I just stop you there, though? You said you got your rumours right. Did you get the pronunciation of the name right?
Almost. So listen to this. No, I was pretty close, all right?
Okay.
So the thing I got wrong was apparently it's a silent C at the beginning of our new 18-year-old wonder kid. Right, so... Haralampos Kostoulas.
Very good. Someone's been practicing.
Thank you. I have all day. All right. Haralampos Kostoulas is the 18-year-old Olympiacos striker who we signed this weekend on a 5-year deal. Price believed to be in the region of an initial £30 million for an 18-year-old, which is scary, but seems to be the going price these days for a wonder kid. Kostoulas graduated through the Olympiacos Academy, and last season, as I spoke about last week, he helped the Greek club win the league and the cup double. He scored 7 goals, provided 2 assists, but he had 35 appearances across the whole of the domestic competition and the Europa League.
Is that good?
What, for an 18-year-old to play all season?
35 appearances and 7 goals. for a striker?
Well,
I'm not putting a downer on it. I'm sure he is wonderful, but you just used the word wonder kid, Neil.
I'm using the word wonder kid because he's 18 and he's cost 30 million quid.
Which I would expect for 35 appearances, at least 20-something goals.
Well,
but anyway.
All I would say is generally, Tony Bloom doesn't get things wrong.
No, you're right. You are absolutely right. You do good business.
It's a good shout. On the numbers, it doesn't look that impressive.
Yeah.
I understand you. I understand.
Yeah.
But, you know, don't be bitter, Andy.
I'm not bitter. And I can't talk about him too much because I can't pronounce his name.
Well, the best bit of news that I had about his name is that he's got a nickname.
Brilliant. Bring it on.
We can just call him Babis.
Babis.
That's right.
What's that? Is that like Greek for baby?
I haven't got a clue.
Okay.
But his nickname, and he's happy to be called Babis. So that's what I'm calling him from now on. So Babis is confirmed. Interestingly as well, something I hadn't mentioned before is that we did sign another Greek teenager in January who we bought but then sent back out on loan just quickly just to continue his loan. And he's a striker as well. And that's Stefanos Tsimas. And he went to Nuremberg. Well, he was at Nuremberg, but we loaned him back. We bought him and then loaned him back so he could finish the season. So both of those Greek teenagers are joining the club this summer, which will be lovely to see. The good thing is they've both played together before in the national teams, underage teams, etc., etc. They like each other. One's a striker. So Tsimas is definitely a pure what you call a striker, a number nine striker.
Mm.
Whereas Babis is much more just an attacker of sorts. And I think I said it last week around he's much more in that João Pedro window where he's an attacker. He can play right up front. He can play central attacking midfield. He can play on the sides, on the wings or whatever as well.
That might explain the stats then.
Exactly,
if he's been playing on the wing and stuff.
And he has. He's been playing in all sorts of positions across that front four of Olympiacos. So they're both confirmed. And I'm really pleased that we got him over the line. It seems there was quite a few clubs interested, but no one willing to put the money where their mouth was. We have. So let's see what happens.
It'd be interesting though, because obviously the Greek league is a bit of a... It's going to be a big step up to the Premier League.
Absolutely.
So,
There's no correlation. I agree.
No. So it's going to be really interesting to see, but I'm excited. I like a good young player coming through to prove himself. And, you know, the only thing that he's got is the fact that he cost 30 million at that age, the weight on his shoulders, really, I guess. But yeah, good luck to him, mate. I'd never heard of him. And I hopefully won't hear too much of him, is the truth.
Oh, well, listen, mate, you love young players being signed and coming through. Let me give you another one.
So there's another one apart from Karolampos Kostoulousos. Ah, nearly did it. I'll keep going with that one.
Babis.
I'll keep practicing.
Just Babis. It's a lot simpler, mate.
No, you've got to show him some respect.
Right,
use his full name.
So don't pronounce a C. So it's Haralampus.
Haralampus Kostoulousos.
Oh,
hey. Whoopa. Right, go on. Who else, Neil?
Apart from Babis and apart from Tsimas, we also have, as of today, right now, which is Tuesday, the 17th of June.
Breaking news.
Diego Coppola, 21-year-old, 6'4", beast of
giant.
A central defender, joins us, Brighton and Hove Albion, from a Serie A club, a Hellas Verona, on a 5-year deal. Now, the amount of money is undisclosed, but all rumours indicate that it was just a measly £9.6 million, which I think is a bargain for any player, let alone someone who's just made their debut for Italy.
So he's on the way up.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
Diego emerged through Verona's academy and made over 80 appearances in the top flight, scoring 4 goals. He's currently also representing Italy's under-21s at the Euros in Slovakia this week. Now, one little quote we got from Fabian Hörsler, and I think it's very interesting, the word he used here on purpose, which is he said, Diego is an exciting addition for the club. Although he is still young, he is tall, strong, and mobile, and he will give us a real physical presence. And we talked about this over the last few weeks when I talked about Albion and Fabian Hörsler and how he said himself he realised the league, the size, the speed and the physicality of the league for some of our young players maybe was a bit of a problem, and that he wanted to change that dynamic of the squad a little bit. This guy, 6'4", bit of a beast, and from all reports, it's a bit of a sideways move from how we normally sign our Brighton players, because usually we are looking purely for really good footballers. Even our defenders are really good on the ball and can pass the ball out. That's not saying Diego Coppola isn't good on the ball. He's okay on the ball, but noticeably, this is what you would call a real pure Italian central defender. He's strong. All he cares about is stopping the attacks. And he is a real pure defender-first type of player. So it's interesting that they've chosen those words as well in Fabian Hörsler's quotes around...
Strong, tall and mobile.
And a real physical presence.
Wow.
So, yeah, so he signed a five-year deal, as I said. The two that I spoke about last week, all confirmed and through the door. And I'm ecstatic about that because I really thought that Coppola in particular was the one that maybe somebody else was going to swoop in and get, especially at that price. But we got in first and we've got him.
The question is, though, can I just ask you a question about Coppola?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is he better than the alternatives? Dare we mention the alternative?
What's the alternative, Andy?
Van Heek.
I'm hoping that they will play alongside each other. Dunk's getting too old. Sounds like Igor looks like he's being sold.
Right.
So that leaves Webster and Van Heek currently in our choices, plus the young cash in as well.
Mm.
We know we've got Oliver Poscagli coming in. We believe so. We haven't heard any confirmation, but we believe 1st of July he's coming in on a free, and he will become a very senior centre-back because he's older and 27 years old. But I'm still hopeful that Van Heek and Diego Coppola plus maybe Boscagli will become a new back three. That's what I'm hoping.
Let's see. But look, do you know what, though? I thought I'd never say this, but one thing I do admire about Brighton...
Hang on, everyone.
Hang on. No, it's true. And it's factual. I admire about Brighton the fact that you do your business early and you do it in a structured way.
Very true.
And I feel like we aspire to do that, but it never quite happens, and I don't know why. And even Glasner has referred to that in multiple interviews about the fact that that was the reason why our start of season was a car crash, because we had players coming in far too late, players coming back from internationals, not enough time to rehearse the system, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, first of all.
It's a pleasure, mate. It's a compliment.
I think what we've done is we've done the hard yards when it comes to our transfer policy. Coming up in from the Championship to the Premier League, we are now, because we've had some really good hits, let's say, with our transfer policy, we've become a club now where young players that are very good and up and coming know they're going to get minutes. They know they're going to play. And they also know, as I said last week, that there is an opportunity for them to play well, sign their five-year deal, and if all works out and they want to leave in year four or whatever, then we won't stop them as long as the money is paid that we know they are worth.
Mm-hmm.
So we've built that legacy. We've built that structure. So it becomes slightly easier, let's say, to convince the player now to come to Brighton. What it does do, though, also, is the downside to that is it makes every other team aware that as soon as Brighton's interested in a player, oh, maybe we should get them as well. So we see a lot of that. So it pros and cons. But thank you. I appreciate the compliment, Andy. It's very nice.
I mean,
nice
you did go a bit too far with it, because, I mean, I was just talking about how quick you did it, not as opposed to, you know...
No, that's not what I heard.
Your club's got some kind of wizardry magic wand to pick them out. What you have got is a really good way of selling them to certain clubs and then them being not worth that after they've been sold, which
never
is wonderful.
Never the same when they leave Brighton.
Yeah, and I guess that's a backhanded compliment.
It is. Absolutely. I'll take it. I'll take it all day. What about Palace? How many transfers have you had in so far this week? One, two, three, four, five, six?
None.
Tumbleweed.
Well, I say in that there is one.
One official?
No.
So none then?
Well, it's all recording when you listen to the podcast.
Recording, have Crystal Palace made any signings?
No.
Okay, fine. But let's talk about one that is a maybe then.
We've got a past medical and an awaiting announcement.
Oh, that sounds pretty fair along the way.
It's gone all the way through to even... Sky Sports are calling it done. And
oh, okay.
All of it.
So who is this?
I think we're pretty much there. So I think we're safe to put it in this section. It is Walter Benitez.
Who?
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. Walter, have you not heard of Walter Benitez?
I thought Walter Benitez was a... I thought he played in the 1970s Brazil team or something. What? Who's this?
He's only 32, mate. I mean...
No, I've never heard of Walter Benitez.
Ah, okay. Well, look, he's 32-year-old goalkeeper.
Oh, goalkeeper. Okay.
He's out of contract with PSV.
Right.
And available on a free transfer.
Right, okay.
He's got a cap for Argentina. And he won...
You're really clutching straws at the moment, aren't you?
Well, at least my one's out of nappies. I mean, crying out loud, Neil. You're talking as if I've heard of the three people that you've just signed. You can't even pronounce them, let alone
them. No, fair point.
Look, he won the league with PSV, as I said. And he made 134 appearances for the club. And he started all but one of their Champions League games last season. So right. We've signed a Champions League quality goalkeeper. As I said, his medical was booked on Friday last week. He's passed the medical. It looks like it's a done deal. And look, ultimately, we've already got our number one goalkeeper, Henderson. Our number two goalkeeper has gone back to see that horrible man over in Nottingham Forest after the loan. And so we now need a backup goalkeeper.
Yep.
But obviously, Walter... I'm first name terms with him already.
Nice.
Me and Walt, we've had a chat and he said that he wants to fight for the number one spot. And I mean, he obviously thinks that he's backing himself. He's come from PSV. They've won the league twice. He's used to winning stuff. And Glasner's obviously seen something in him. And so far, Glasner ain't got it wrong for us, really. Anyone he's bought in, Kamada didn't start well, but he ended well. So I trust the process.
No, fair enough. It sounds like it's pretty much nailed on then that's happening, especially if it's a free transfer anyway. There's got no club to worry about, then that's good. Okay. Well, that's nice. Nice to get one under your belt, isn't it?
Well, and also, he's a 32-year-old, but that's okay for a keeper.
Yes, I agree.
But we've had this habit of loaning goalkeepers. I'm really excited about the potential of not dipping too much into the loan market for that short-term success this year and kind of trying to pick out them players because we need quite a few.
Yeah, I get you that. So, I get that. I totally understand that.
So there we go. So that's the only one. But
okay, cool.
Obviously, we can confirm that is confirmed next week and also talk about all of the other players we've never heard of that are going to sign for Brighton.
Look, yeah, we'll have to see. I'm not expecting too many more, but it's been...
Oh, what, do you think you're done?
Let's talk about it in the transfer rumours.
Okay.
But I've got a few quotes from Tony Bloom as well. So, I do love a quote. Oh, it's like the horse's mouth, Andy. That's what it's like.
It's not very nice to Tony.
He loves the horses. It's all right. let's talk about something else. How about... Oh, I'm excited. I know this is sad, right? But I'm excited because we've got the Premier League fixtures coming out this week. So we get to know...
Tomorrow?
Well, yeah. As time of recording. Yeah. Tomorrow. Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to get to find out on the 18th of June, we get to find out who everyone's going to play the whole of the season and in which order.
Well, we're not, are we?
What do you mean?
Well, there's going to be a list published.
Yeah.
And we're all going to get excited.
Exactly.
And my son's going to be like, oh, I can go to that game on the Saturday afternoon.
Exactly what I'll be doing.
And then give it a month or so. And then all of them lovely Saturday afternoon games are going to be on a Monday night at 12:30 at night.
Very true.
So,
very true.
Yes, I know it's very cynical, but not great for families, Premier League. Not great for families. But anyway, yes, we will find out. Can I ask you a question?
Go on.
You open up Google tomorrow morning.
Yep.
You get your Brighton fixtures.
Yes.
Where do your eyes go straight away? What's the things that you look for?
There's three things I look for.
Okay.
So I straight away look at the first four games. Who do we have in those first four games? I.e., what I'm looking at is how easy or difficult is those first four games? Specifically, we're thinking about the squad that we've got. Have we had a good preseason? Have we had a bad preseason? Have we bought players in? Like last season in particular, new manager. Who do we have to face with a new manager straight away? So this season, I'll be doing the same thing though. So how many points can we get in those first four? Because it really helps set a tone with that. So how difficult are the first four? That's the first thing I look at. Second thing I look at is what's the run in? What's the last four? How difficult is the last four? If we're challenging for Europe or the title, then how difficult is those last four? You don't smirk. I think that it.
The
I didn't
title.
Think you, I didn't think you'd notice.
What the hell?
You know, if we're neck and neck with Liverpool, when do we play them? You know, that sort of stuff. So that's what I look for.
We'd be playing Liverpool at the last game of the season. That seems to be a thing for us.
And then third and last thing I would definitely always look for is When's the Palace at home game? That's the one I then look for to go, right, let's make sure that there are no holidays, anniversary dinners, anything like that that's around that date. Or if there is, let me get it sorted out the way as soon as possible. Mm. So that's the three things I look at. But I really enjoy that. I take your point about the fixtures moving, but they're still due on that weekend mostly. So, you know, I just look at it in the sense of the order of how difficult get things it. Are. What about you?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a very cynical comment that I made. I understand why. For me, truthfully, my eyes, for some unknown reason, always get drawn to, are we playing a team over that Christmas break and who are we playing?
Oh, that's a good point, actually.
You know, that kind of, is yeah. it's the Boxing Day fixture.
It's a good point. I hadn't thought of that either.
I love that. And we haven't had a home Boxing Day fixture for quite a few years. Certainly not the last 2 years. I don't know how far I'm going back on my knowledge there.
But the problem is also this season and last season, they've started to spread out the Christmas fixtures. So there's like a one or two games every day over the whole of that Christmas week. I think Brighton's game, we were at home this season to Chelsea, but it was like the 28th or something, or the 29th of that week. And it felt a bit like, well, like you say, tradition, you want to go on Boxing Day, don't you, and actually go to the game or whatever. So
that'd be lovely. I feel like we had that bit this season where they were kind of passing around the mince pies in the stands behind me, you know, like with all the old men that I sit with, and it kind of felt a bit wrong that they were doing that, because Christmas was like a whole 10 days ago or something. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I look at the Christmas thing. I look at, obviously, what's the first game of the season, what's the last game of the season. But also, do you know what, I tend to do that thing where I don't look at the individual dates too much. Mm. I look at, like, from a Palace perspective, I go, right, with that run of fixtures at the start, where are we going to be by Christmas?
Right.
And do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
As in, like, if your season was a graph, is it an upwards graph and then a downwards graph, and how far do you fall? Or is it going to be riding high and then all the way down to the end or whatever? And because normally we have an awful start and then we have a roaring finish.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is to do with, I mean, you look at a lot of the teams this season that I would have classed as overperformed in the first half of the season. Mm. And a lot of that was down to the run of fixtures that they would have and who they played and what form they played them in and all that kind of stuff. Because obviously all of it is taken into account, right? Yeah. So
It's great though, isn't it? Like, just having the fixtures in your pocket from now onwards, it just makes you more excited for the upcoming season and what's going to happen.
Mate,
and
I can't wait.
8 weeks to go, mate. 8 weeks.
What, till the start of the season?
No, 9 weeks till the start of the season, but 8 weeks until...
Neil!
He's getting so
I'm going
excited.
Back to Wembley!
There he is.
Wembley!
So, yeah, 8 weeks until...
Can't be off with my singing there, Neil.
I know.
Didn't want the whole song?
No, I'm all right.
All right.
The Charity Shield. Another trophy on offer for Crystal Palace. So who do they get to play? Oh, yeah, Liverpool.
Mate, we need a bigger trophy cabinet. Honestly. Also, I mean, practically living at Wembley right now. I mean,
anyway,
what's that, free visits?
I just was going to mention it. We don't have to keep talking about it. My point being that not too long now, once you get the fixtures out, it doesn't feel quite as long until the season starts again. So I'm going to get excited about that. We'll touch on that next week, just have a little look at the fixtures and who we've got first three or four games maybe, and just talk about them a bit. See how difficult or easy it is.
I think we should work out. Our predictions, not overall, but our pre-Christmas, who's going to be above each other, and at the end of the season, who's going to be above each other.
Interesting.
Based on the fixtures.
All right, fair enough.
I'm excited.
I like the idea of that. Let's talk about it more next week when we actually see the fixtures. I mean, I might change my mind by then.
Wouldn't it be great if opening day Palace Brighton? Oh, that'd be amazing.
That would be weird.
Yeah. Be a good start to the season,
wouldn't it? Yeah, yeah. Well, it depends where it is. If it was at the Amex, I'd be up for it. Any other news we've got going around before we take a break?
I think, look, probably talk about quickly about contracts. Is there any Brighton contracts? I've heard one that I heard one from you, which I'm sure you're going to talk about in a minute, that I'd forgot I'd even played for you, and I thought I'd retired and become a pundit 10 years ago. So,
James Milner.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, 1 year extension. He was injured most of this season. He played in August, got injured, came on for the last 5 minutes of the last day of the season. I think that
genuinely
was an
didn't know he was still there.
Yeah, that was an indicator as well. He's only got, I think, 14 or 15 more appearances to surpass Gareth Barry's all-time appearance in the Premier League as well. So there was
I'm not surprised.
There was good indicator that he was going to sign another one-year contract,
how,
I think.
How old is this man?
68, I think. Yeah. The other good bit of news, Tariq Lamptey.
Yeah.
1 year extension.
You were talking about that, weren't you?
I was talking to you about that the other day and saying, oh, we haven't heard anything. So I wonder if he's going to let him go because it was out of contract this month. So as we hadn't heard anything, it all gone quiet. I was thinking, okay, they're going to let him go and we'll get somebody else in. But they've signed a 1 year extension. And I think that's really good news. He played really well this season. Yes, he's still got his injuries, but as a second or third choice fullback or wing back, maybe in the future, it's great to have as a squad player, I think. So, yeah, those two were confirmed this week. Other players that probably most people wouldn't know so much about but also got contract extensions for the club were Abdelassima, who has lots of loans in French clubs, played for Rangers as well, but hasn't played for Brighton yet. I'm expecting that just to be a contract extension to then probably sell to get a little bit of money, but we'll see. And then the younger kids of Seb Jensen, Harry Mills, Odell Afaya, and Jamie Mullins as well, who is another one who we've had for quite a few years. And he still hasn't played for us, but he's played for quite a few championship clubs. I think he was at Stoke, I think, last season. Yeah. Good midfielder, but we haven't seen him in a Brighton shirt as outside of pre-season or anything. So, oh, just a side point on Harry Mills. I just wanted to make a point on this. I just thought it was really interesting. 19 years old. He plays for the under-23s. He hasn't seen the first team yet or anything like that.
Oh, okay, because he's not a name I recognise.
No, absolutely. It's a left-sided defender, mostly plays left-back, okay. As you see him for the under-23s, under-21s. I just wanted to make a point that he's also not just a Brighton Hove Albion young player, he's also a UEFA B licensed qualified coach and also a Talent ID Level 2 qualified coach too. Do you know what they are? You're looking at me quizzed.
Just a lot of words. So some kind of secret agent?
He's 19 years of age.
Yeah.
He's playing for Brighton in the youth teams, but he's also managed to get his UEFA B license in coaching.
How's he found time to do that?
Which is fantastic. And he's also, he's got the same qualification as me in scouting, basically, as well. So he's a level 2 Talent ID qualified. So he's done all of that whilst playing football, whilst probably going through education. Just wanted to make a point to say, well done, Harry. Future planning. It obviously shows a want and a desire to understand the game better and in different ways. So just
I like that.
Wanted to raise that.
And I feel like also we need to explore, probably not in this podcast, Neil, but I think we need to explore Neil's world of scouting, which we could start with a dib, dib, dob, dob, and then potentially work at Campcraft.
That's why they call it talent identification these days, Andy.
Is it? Yes. Okay. But no, jokes aside, mate, I think we do need to explore that in the future podcasts. And
if we run out of material, we'll talk about
it. Well, I mean, some potential talent that you've unearthed in the past and so on.
Time's running out. We've got to take a break in a minute, but I want to just touch on Palace. Any contract news or any other news before we close?
No, we had quite a bit last week, didn't we? So no real contract news even this week. But Palace have officially published their released and retained list.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember I was asking, when does that happen?
Mm.
And it happened the next day. So no real surprises at all, actually. It was a massive anti-climax for the first team because all they told us was that Joel Ward and Jeffrey Schlupp had been released and everyone else was retained, pretty much. So it's like, yeah, cheers for that, Palace. No wonder you were quite happy to release that one.
Yeah, exactly.
However, there was one interesting thing in the Academy released and retained list.
Yeah.
I always find that list quite sad, actually, the Academy one, where they're releasing...
Sobering, isn't it, to see how many people don't get a chance.
And you just think, it's different, isn't it, when you're looking at, like, grown men being released from a club who are clearly going to go and find another team somewhere, to this list is now kids who are literally going to cry into their pillows that night because they've... Do you know what I mean? Bless them. However, Palace apparently are the first club to do a proper aftercare package for their released players going forward, regardless of where they end up.
That's good.
Which is wonderful. So they're doing some really, really good stuff. But anyway, I digress. Talking about the players that have been released from the academy, one of the surprise ones on there was actually Ezra's brother.
Really?
So I don't know whether you know that Ezra's brother...
I had no clue, no.
Chimiechi, I believe, right, is his name. He has played for Palace for a couple of years now and has done really, really well with our development teams. But he's obviously not made the grade to continue playing. Really funny, because in the past, when me and my son have been kind of in the car park outside the stadium getting signatures and stuff like this, there's been more than one occasion where either we or people we were with has gone up to Ezra's brother thinking it was Ezra, because they do have the same haircut, the same size, the same stature.
Wow, brothers, yeah, imagine, yeah.
And very much the same mannerisms, yeah, like the way they move and everything is very, very similar. A lovely
Not
kid.
Similar enough, though, by the looks of it.
Well, a lovely kid. And do you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if we see him in one shape or form coming through the ranks, very similar to maybe what happened with Ezra, right? That, you know, the man himself didn't have an easy route through, and maybe that'll be the same for everybody else.
Well, good luck to them. Good luck to them all that have been
absolutely
released. Hope they find their place somewhere. Yeah, absolutely. We're going to take a break there and we'll see you in a mo. Welcome back, everyone. This is Seagull Eagle. Right, strap in. It's time for another dose of Fight or Flight, the segment where we pretend we're running the club and make some wildly emotional decisions. This is where contracts meet chaos and we decide who's essential and who's packing their boots to pastures new. This week's question, do we throw them a new deal and name a stand after them, or wave them off with a firm handshake and carefully chosen best of luck gif? We're weighing up everything, recent form, future potential, and just how gutted we'd be if they rocked up scoring goals elsewhere. There are a few names wobbling on the edge at both Brighton and Palace, so let's channel our inner sporting directors. It's time to separate the legends from the LinkedIn updates. Andy, fight or flight, who are you going with this week?
Mark Gahey.
Discuss.
Well, there's been lots of talk about Mark Gahey.
Who for quite hasn't a while as well.
Oh, mate, I've been saving this one up, as I alluded to in previous weeks, because there has been so much talk, almost too much. It's just been really hard to work out what is absolute nonsense and what is, you know, what's genuine here. Mm. Look, let's just review. He's been one of our best central defenders. Well, in fact, he's been one of the best central defenders in the country. I don't think anyone can argue with that. He's been a starter for England.
Yep.
And he has quite rightly put himself in a place where he's been linked with everybody because he's just been so good.
Yep.
He's been an outstanding player for Palace this season and in the past seasons as well. He is linked at the moment with Chelsea, Arsenal, Tottenham and Newcastle. They seem to be the biggest stories that are out there right now.
Mm.
Look, he's already got Europa League football next season, hopefully.
Sure.
And so he's going to want, if he's going to want to move, he's going to want to make the right move. I'm questioning, and obviously I know this is a Palace fans dilemma. Mm. I get it. And everyone thinks that their club is the best and the biggest and all this kind of stuff. But we are on the way up at the moment, right? Mm-hmm. We are on that trajectory. And if you're going to move away from us, then you've got to progress, right? So like them clubs that are being linked, they're Champions League clubs, and I get it. But if you're going to progress and go to a bigger club, you want to make sure you're going to get a starting spot. And I don't think if he goes to Arsenal, say, for example, he's going to shift any of them players out, unless, of course, Saliba potentially moves on, which are rumours.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think you're totally right. I mean, what are the other clubs you say? Tottenham, Newcastle, Chelsea. I mean,
I can't see him going to Tottenham. I think Chelsea have been linked with him ever since. I think pretty much a week after we signed him from Chelsea.
I was going to say, wasn't he a Chelsea player anyway? It's just
but that's
normal
what Chelsea are doing.
Yeah, they do.
You know, they'll sell a player, get the money, go, oh, that's great, spend it stupidly, and then go, oh, actually, can we have that one back? And I think that, like, Chelsea is a legitimate link, and obviously, I think
no sooner do they sell a player, they want them back again. So it's kind of one of those situations. There have been rumours in the media about Chalobah, who mm-hmm. obviously was on loan with us and they loaned him out to us when he wasn't playing very well. We got him playing well and they went, oh, can we have him back? And now he's obviously playing for England.
Yeah.
And he's now over playing at the Club World Cup with Chelsea. And there are still rumours, believe it or not, that they want him gone, that they're going to upgrade. And obviously, Palace have made it very, very clear that we'd love to have him back. Mm. So there is that kind of, is he going to come back and Gueye go the other way thing?
I mean, I definitely think that's got legs, because Chelsea, with PSR and everything that goes on around that, he's a homegrown talent. There's not many of them left for Chelsea in the first team. So yeah, it makes sense that if they're going to try and make 100% profit out of somebody, he would be one of the ones to go.
Yeah. So there is that. And then, of course, the other one that I'm genuinely concerned about is, you know, it's the recurring rumours that happen from transfer window to transfer window. And obviously, the last transfer window, there was really, really strong links with Newcastle.
Yeah.
Right? Really strong links. I think Mark isn't in a rush. Mm-hmm. That is apparent, right? He's very much like, let's see what happens. Let's make the right decisions. He doesn't want to do... It's clear that he doesn't want to do the wrong thing. And also, I don't think he's not in a rush to kind of leave us for dead or anything like that. But however, he also hasn't been in a rush to sign a new contract. So I think the Newcastle situation has now come back again. I believe that is a legitimate link. I believe he has been in talks with the club, probably over the past couple of transfer windows. Mm. And there has been rumours about player swaps. I believe Target was one of the people that were linked with Palace coming the other way. I don't think we're going to be too interested in too many player swaps. I think we're going to probably want the money to reinvest it where we want it.
Well, you're in the board now, Andy. You're wearing the suit. So, you know, you make those decisions.
Well, I mean, no. I think if we're selling him, we get the money while we get there. I think what I'm a bit concerned about is the amount of money that is being discussed right now is significantly less than what it was. It was 60 plus, if not 70, that we were asking Newcastle for in the last transfer window. Now everyone seems to think that because 6 months has gone by, they can get him for about the 40 mark, in one of England's best defenders for 40 million.
Well, what's his contract situation?
Well, I mean, he's got 12 months left.
Well, then that's why. I mean, that literally is the moment where the price just drops in half for a lot of people, because it's that really dodgy moment. Because in 6 months' time, he can sign a pre-contract agreement with another club in Europe if he wants to.
Yeah,
so it's a really difficult, leaving it in the last 12 months, that price does drop, mate. That's just that's the way football is. So they're saying how much now, you reckon?
45 mil.
I mean, that's not bad. 12 months left on the contract.
I mean,
see your face, you're not happy, but that's not bad.
Well, no, but I mean, he's worth every penny of that.
Absolutely,
I think that if we can get 45 mil, we will be able to spend that well. That's four championship players that we'll make into legends.
What's your verdict then? Is that your verdict? Are you wanting to sell Mark Gueye? Is that it?
No, of course I don't. I mean, this is a stupid feature. Who wrote this? Oh, us. But look, of course I don't want to sell Mark Gueye.
Right.
I respect the guy. He's also just a really nice guy who does some wonderful things. And I know everyone talks about everyone like that, but he genuinely is. Every time that, you know, we've met him a couple of times, and he's always been so nice and great with the kids. He's also a great person to have around the club. He's obviously been the club captain.
Yeah.
He's had
a huge impact, hasn't he?
Mate, he's an asset, like genuinely an asset. And I think we've been good to him and he's been good to us. And I think if that's where it ends, and it ends nicely and it ends well, then I say we let him walk away and we thank him for his services. I want to make sure in my position on the board at Crystal Palace, soon to be when I buy my shares, that we need to make a sign in now before this gets silly. Because if he goes on transfer deadline day and he's not replaced and we haven't got that leader, that person at the back, then I don't really want to be in that situation. So we do it, but we do it quick.
Right.
And we get the most amount of money for him as possible. But before we do that, Neil, we just double check. We pull him back into the office and we go, are you sure, Mark?
You sure? You don't want to? Don't want to sign a new contract?
Okay. So your verdict is thank him for his service, but you're going to sell him for the right money.
We can't. He can't leave on a free.
No, I think you're absolutely right there. I think you're right.
He can't leave on a free.
What do you? I know we're moving off subject slightly, but what do you actually think will happen with Mark Gahey this summer?
I think we sell him for bare dollar, and we reinvest that money into one or two players that I believe we've already been linked with.
Yeah.
And I think that's, look, you know this, right? If you look at the players that we're being linked with now in the press, the majority of them are central defenders.
Yeah.
So it's really apparent and clear that there was a conversation with Mark that happened in the previous transfer window, which was, I'm probably not going to sign a new contract, guys. Nothing personal, but I do want to go on and move on in my career.
Yeah.
And I think that this is all part of the plan. And I reckon the club already know who they want to sign.
I agree. Okay, fair enough. That's well done. You take your tie off now. It's okay. You don't need to carry on with any more
verdicts. I don't wear a tie, mate. I'm the new generation of board director.
Well, the ones that don't quite own the club but still cause problems for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Neil, tell me, who are you going to feature in this week's Fight or Flight?
Purvis Estupiñán.
Oh.
I wasn't expecting to talk about Purvis Estupiñán this week.
This is your left back, right?
This is our left back. 27 years old. He joined the club in 2022. We bought him for £15 million. It was a little bit of a speedy buy in some respects. I don't know if you can remember, but we had a chap with rather large curly hair called Mark Cucurella.
Oh, I used to hate him.
Yeah, everybody hates him. Until he's playing for your club, you hate him. And I understand that. I understand that now anyway, even more so, because he lasted one season with us and then decided that, well, you know what, you know the rest.
Yeah.
When Purvis came in, he signed a five-year deal. So that means right at this moment, he has 2 years remaining of that current deal. And suddenly, I read, rumours are rife that he feels he needs a change now, that... we've heard nothing. Like, there's no whispers about it for the last few months at all. And there's not been like anything rumbling on. It's just literally in the last 2 weeks, suddenly you get to this end of season and the international phase and people go home and they somehow believe that talking to their own reporters in their own country and nothing will get out. But the conversations have happened where they fear he's made quotes that he feels it's time to have a change. And
he's starting for you, though, isn't he?
No, he's
getting
first,
game time.
First choice left back.
Yeah. Okay. So it's not like he's been pushed out of the team or anything like that.
Well, no.
He just wants to move to a big club.
The only thing I can draw on to look at and think, was that the moment or was there something else that happened? Obviously, we've had a new manager this season.
Yeah.
The manager right now has had a whole season with this squad of players. He's obviously in a position now to decide what he wants, what he doesn't want in the squad. You know, we've talked about the fact that he's made these quotes and comments around wanting to change the mentality and also the physicality of the squad, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm.
So obviously the managers are going to want to bring in players, but there's been nothing really out there to suggest Purvis was in any danger of losing his spot. And he played all of the season, basically. Barring the odd injury, he played the whole season at left back. He's the only left back we've got. So, like, he didn't really have
many choices at one point.
No, so the only other player we have got is Ferdi Kadioglu, who was injured for most of the season, who is naturally a right-sided footballer, but actually played most of his seasons for Turkey and for the club that he played for before at left back as well. So he is comfortable playing on that side, but he never got the chance to have that to happen. So Purvis, as I say, 2 years remaining. There are rumours that he wants to leave, and these are born out of actual quotes that are supposedly out there of him saying that it's time for a change.
Oof.
Man United are top of the queue from the sound of things, looking for another sort of left-sided wing back. And I can understand that in the shape that they play. AC Milan, Spurs, of course, Chelsea, sniffing around like a dog on heat, following us for every choice that we make. 84 appearances for us. Been really good for us. He's such a strong attacking side. Yeah, that whole left side for Albion is such a strong attacking side when you think you've got Purvis and then you've got Mitoma in front of him. And between,
he's kind of more of a wing back, right?
I agree.
Yeah,
absolutely. He's, you know, left-sided midfielder almost, you could argue.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I suppose that's where the cons come in, because the pros are, as I said, you know, strong attacking support for Mitoma, endless energy, very much like your fella on the right side of Palace.
Oh, Munoz.
Yeah. But the cons, right? So the bad side of Purvis Estupiñan, I have to be balanced here. He lacks concentration when he's tired. You
a bit
see
like
it.
Me.
Very much like you, but I can give you coffee. They don't do that with him for some reason. But when you see near the end of the games, his concentration wanes. He makes strange decisions. I mean, think back to the Liverpool home game, that last minute shot.
Oh, yeah. And your manager went mad at him.
Absolutely mental at him.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, exactly. And I wondered about that moment, if it would come back to bite us. And I'm wondering whether that was a catalyst.
Okay, now you've reminded me of that. I understand why he's saying it's now time to move on, because that reaction from your manager was well over the top.
Well, I wonder if it was well over the top. It might have been a pent-up frustration of seeing him all season. You know, I've mentioned it before to my friends and my colleagues as well around. I just feel he lacks, this is Purvis, by the way, Estupiñan. I think he lacks game intelligence. He's a very good footballer, don't get me wrong. But when the moment is needed and when he's moving forward with Fabian Hörsler, I just think maybe they're not quite on the right sort of level plane, if that makes sense. So I do understand his decision to maybe think, this new manager's come in, it's not for me. And maybe I fancy a change. So it was a surprise, though. I wasn't expecting to talk about Purvis. It's only that it's come about in the last few days that I've noticed. So, yeah, it's a strange one. If it does happen, I think that will muck up a lot of our sort of transfer plans. But look, I'm the one with the suit on.
Yeah,
I can make this decision.
Your transfer plans. What are you doing, Neil?
Yeah, sorry, man.
Sort it out, man. What are you doing?
Look, he wants a change. He stated that, it sounds like, very clearly. I'm not going to change the way that Albion do their business, even if I'm in charge. I think it works. The plan of getting players in, and when they think it's time to move on, if the price is right and it works for us, then we move them on.
Okay, so, Neil, so can we just do a potential reenaction of what might happen?
Yeah,
okay, so, right, so I'm Purvis.
You look very much like him.
Right, so, and you're, who are you from the board? You're Neil.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I'm on the board, mate.
Right. So you
got a problem with that?
Right, Neil. I'm thinking I'm going to make a change.
So you want to just move on, just like that, do you?
Yeah. You shout like the manager shouted at me after the Liverpool game, and I've got the ump. I want to make a change. Only problem is there's only small clubs like Man United after me, but I'm probably going to go there anyway. So I'm out. Am I allowed to leave?
You are allowed to leave for the right price, Purvis. Two things have to happen first. One, you have to go and apologise to the manager for taking that stupid shot against Liverpool.
Not going to happen.
Well, in that case, you'll be sitting in the academy for the next 24 years.
Okay.
No, it might not go like that, to be fair. I think if it was me, I would let him go. I don't have any problem with it. I struggled with him over the last season, as I said anyway. If a change is what he wants, let's give it to him. Price tag-wise, interesting. 2 years left. We only bought him for 15 million. I'm always of the school of thought that if we can double our money, I'd be happy. So I think if we can get 25, 30 million for him, which in these days prices, I think it's pretty good money for a marauding left back that he is, I would sell. That's my verdict. And as I said, I think if we do sell him, I'm not necessarily sure we'll get someone in to replace him, because I think he's already in the squad, and that's Ferdi Cadioglu. So.
Okay. I mean, look, Chelsea will give you 60 mil for him. That's what normally happens.
Chelsea will give him 60 mil for our Gardner.
Yeah, they would. Who out of them teams then would you think he probably would go to then? Manu, AC Milan, Spurs and Chelsea. I mean, AC Milan, surely.
Milan suits Milan. I think he's a Milan sort of player. I think he suits their style as well. Manchester United, I think he suits their style. I just don't see...
You don't want to be fighting for relegation though, do you? I mean... Mate, they're linked with, honestly, it's so frustrating, Neil. They're linked with everybody at the moment.
Yeah,
it's like,
you
are delusional,
not,
man. Yeah. And no one's coming to you now. Like,
I agree. I don't see him going to Chelsea either. I don't see that. That makes no sense to me.
No.
Spurs, that I could understand that one. I can see that one. They do need another left-sided defender. They've got, what's his name? Udogi. Mm. But that's the only one, really, they've got who's left-sided, left-footed. So I could understand that, possibly. But yeah, for me, I reckon that's got legs. I think the Milan one, I think that might happen. But 25, 30 million, and he's off to Italy. I'm fine with that. No, I don't have a problem, mate.
Thank you, Neil.
So that was Fight or Flight.
Oh, yes!
What should we do next? Oh, it's that exciting moment you've all been waiting for. I know. The FIFA Club World Cup.
No, I'm still not ready. I don't know whether I'm excited about this. I'm... Right. Okay, look. Let me be honest.
Yeah, go on.
Right. First thing, I don't really understand it.
No.
Second thing, I haven't bothered to try and understand it because we're not in it. Third thing is, I don't understand how we get in it and whose mate we have to
okay,
be.
Okay, look.
And the fourth thing is, why is no one watching it?
Well, now that's a question.
So look, can let you me just
run
me?
Yeah. Let me run through the topics that what you just mentioned.
Okay.
I won't spend ages on it. We can talk about it over the next few weeks if it pricks your interest, okay?
Okay.
The 2025 Club World Cup. So it's just started. It started on the 15th of June and it lasts a month, basically. I think it finishes on the 13th of July.
Right.
It's very much like what we would call a traditional World Cup. Yeah, an international World Cup. But this time it's for the clubs. And the clubs are decided by lots of different things, but I'll go into that, okay? Mm. So the competition has always happened, but it's usually just happened by sort of, you couldn't really work out how or why, and it suddenly just popped up and people played it. And that was a 7-team tournament at one point. Now it's a 32-team tournament. So it's very much like a World Cup in that sense.
Right.
Okay. And it's going to be held every 4 years. This year, it's in the US at stadiums like the Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. And of course, who can forget the legendary Camping World Stadium in Orlando? It now has 12 clubs from Europe in the 32-team tournament. And the spaces are allocated based on performances in the Champions League over those 4 seasons. So it's a bit like, you know, we talk about the coefficient and things like that. So it's basically saying in the last 4 seasons, who were the best performing clubs in the Champions League?
Okay, so it is based on stats then?
Yeah. So for instance, if you look at the European competitors that are in it, you've got the winners of the Champions League over the last 3 seasons. So that's Chelsea, Real Madrid and Man City.
Okay.
Then you've got the best performing sides in the same period. Who performed best apart from winning it? Who are the other clubs over
in the Champions League?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's Bayern Munich, Paris Saint-Germain, Inter Milan. So they qualify through that sort of ranking route. They're the best ranked teams. And then you've got that same situation happening for the Asian Football Confederation, Oceania, the Americas, like associations, all those different things. So there's lots of different clubs from different areas of the world that qualify through that. You've got a few randoms in there as well. You get one club from Oceania because the confederation is only a smaller confederation. Los Angeles FC, they secured a late entry to the tournament after, get this, they beat the Mexico's Club America in a playoff, right? Because the original club that was going to go in was Club Leon. And guess why they were removed from the tournament, Andy?
Financial issues.
Nope. Multi-club ownership rules.
Shut up. Because of Botafogo, who were already in it.
There you go. So UEFA, just following FIFA's footsteps here, mate.
I didn't actually know that. Botafogo were in it. I didn't realise Leon couldn't be in it.
So the 32 clubs are basically split into 8 groups of 4. So, and then it just basically works like a World Cup. So you've got these 8 groups, the top 2 go through, and then there's knockout stages all the way through to the final. So Europe, we've got Man City, Real Madrid, Chelsea, Bayern Munich, Paris Saint-Germain, Inter Milan, Porto, Benfica, Borussia Dortmund, and Juventus. Salzburg, Atletico Madrid. That's all of them.
Right.
Yeah. And then you've got all the random clubs that I would call, that I've only heard of about half of these lot, but from different countries as well, from Oceania, as I said, Oakland. You've got some South America, North America, Africa and Asia. So it's a lot to take in and it's a very new thing for a lot of people. I think longer term, it might be quite exciting to watch. But first of all, it's a bit of a drain and a strain. And that's probably the most confusing thing of the whole lot is that they're holding the first real tournament in America.
Which, I mean, the ball's the wrong shape out there.
It's very strange.
I don't know why they've done that. I mean, imagine if it was in Europe. I mean, there'd be a frenzy.
There
right
would,
now.
Yeah. Or South America. Yeah. You know, if you think about it, holding it in Brazil or somewhere like that. I mean, that would be where football is really key. You know, it would be an absolute hotbed of great teams playing great football. But
very strange decision.
It's a little bit of a wet squib in that sense. So there have been concerns around sort of the sale of the tickets. There's tens of thousands of tickets that have been left unsold for all the games so far, so much so that they've started to cut price all the tickets. And they've got this whole dynamic pricing model where when it's really, really wanted or the game's really important or someone really wants to buy the tickets, the price goes up. Well, that also works the other way, Andy.
I wish it were like that for the Oasis tickets I was trying to buy.
So some tickets, right, are being flung around for as little as £17. And that's like to watch teams like River Plate or I think Seattle games as well. If you want to watch Champions League winners, though, Paris Saint-Germain, you can watch them for as little as £24. You've just got to be in America to watch them. But, it's going to be a hit or miss thing. Some people love it. Some people hate it. It comes off the back of a busy season. So for a lot of teams, it's difficult. For other teams, like in the US, they're right smack bang in the middle of their season. So they're fitter and in form as well. So lots of things going on. I think what didn't help was probably the first few matches. The first opening match, Lionel Messi's into Miami, drew 0-0 with Al Ahly, Egypt's top team. So that was difficult, I think. That didn't really spark the tournament off. And then you get to see Bayern Munich play Auckland City, the part-timers Auckland City, playing Bayern Munich, one of the greatest historical clubs in the world, in front of 21,000 people. And Bayern Munich just get past them 10-0. I mean,
this is the problem with all of this, isn't it? Which is that there's no consistency of performance and level of performance. Like, it doesn't match, does it?
No. Exactly.
And I mean, I've heard rumours of people being asked to move seats in front of the TV cameras.
So that was a big thing. Yeah. So last night,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, last night there were some stories on Instagram and some Twitter or X stories as well. People talking about the fact that, the FIFA have changed their tickets so that the seats were moved around. So when you look on TV, it looks busier and fuller than it was. I mean, it's all a bit of a joke at the moment. Look, this might catch on. And over the next few years or 8 to 12 years, maybe 2 or 3 tournaments in, we might feel a bit more about it. At the moment, I'm quite interested to see what happens. But when you see some of the first opening games, it's hard. It's a hard watch because the level obviously is very hit and miss, very much like the World Cup opening stages.
Well, yeah, and do you know what? Let's be honest. If we were Bayern Munich fans now, we'd be getting excited about it, like, wouldn't we? And all of that. I think from our perspective, it feels like a big reach away from something that we'd ever be involved in. And therefore, it's a bit like your mate acing a test and you failing it, isn't it? And you going, stuff you. Do you know what I mean? I didn't want it anyway. And that's kind of where I'm at with this, which is it's not in my world.
No,
so I'll
totally
get involved
understand.
In it in the later stages, I think.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. It's happening. We'll see how it moves on and if anyone starts watching it. And I'll keep you peeled if anything major happens. But otherwise, should we move on?
Let's.
What should we talk about now?
Well, I think the only thing, one of the main things we haven't discussed right now, we've talked about the potential of people leaving our clubs, but we haven't talked about the incomings.
Oh, yeah. So we've done signings, but what about the rumours?
Yeah, and there's lots of rumours, right? There's
always
lots of rumours. Are they of any substance? Who knows? Nothing that we mentioned last week has actually come into fruition, I don't believe. Not for Palace yet, anyway.
All of mine did, mate.
Well, yours have, but obviously your club's now finished its transfer business,
probably,
by all accounts.
Yeah. So go on then, what have we got from a Palace point? Give me one of your big rumours from a Palace perspective.
Right. We've got... there's two,
okay.
I think, for me.
Give me one first.
The first one is Mateus Fernandes.
Oh, I like him.
Yeah.
He's Southampton?
He's a recent one, Southampton.
Right.
That's right, 20-year-old midfielder. I think he was one of the standout stars for Southampton last year.
Very good.
He did 36 Premier League appearances, scoring 2 goals, got 4 assists. I mean, by far the best player on the pitch from a Saints perspective last year. I know it was a low standard to pick from, but he did look like he was playing for, a very different game to everybody else.
Yeah.
Obviously, they've now been relegated. And,
from a financial aspect, obviously this is the point where they now start shedding their players and trying to get the most money for them as possible. And obviously the players are like, I don't want to play championship football. That sounds too much hard work. Let's see who wants me. So I think this guy is very versatile. He can play attacking midfield, left winger, striker and defensive midfield. So he's good for squad depth.
Oh, I agree. He's very much an all-rounder.
Yeah, he's still, the thing is though, he's still got another 4 years left on his Southampton contract.
So
it puts Southampton in a really strong negotiating position. They paid 15 million quid for him from Sporting Lisbon. They got a deal done with Sporting Lisbon, which is interesting, last summer. And they're now looking for about 30 million quid for him. So they're looking to double their money after one season. I don't think that's an outrageous amount of money for that player. I'm not like buy at all costs, but I'm open to the idea. I'm open to the idea. He's a decent player.
No, I agree. For some reason, you know, when you'd like think about different footballers and sometimes you go, you know what, that's a good fit.
Yeah.
You know, I think that is a good fit for Palace. Yeah. I think he's the type of, yeah, he's got that dynamic sort of feel about him. And I think that would be a very good fit for Palace. That's
he's a hard worker.
Idea. Yeah.
And a team player in that respect.
So where are we with that rumour generally then?
It is literally a rumour and it's been linked that we are, look, at Palace at the moment, we are clutching at straws because sure. we are, if you can imagine, I think we're 2 or 3 weeks behind you yeah. in terms of done deals and things like that. Your rumours last week
say
were...
years behind us, mate.
Europe.
never going to go out.
No. So yeah, anyway... Let's see what happens with that one, see if it progresses. There were hundreds more rumours. The only other one that I thought was kind of gathering any momentum was Japhet Tanganga.
Ah, the old Tottenham player.
That's right, 26-year-old. He joined Millwall permanently last summer after his initial loan spell, right? So he left Spurs, he joined Millwall after a loan, and he's got, wait for it, Neil, a £1.2 million release clause.
What?
Apparently so.
Blimey.
This is what multiple news places
it's
are.
It's a weird
are.
Number.
Well, I mean, I guess the guy probably thought, look, I've gone to Tottenham. I'm taking a step down at Millwall. Who'd want to play there? So let's, you know, in my contract, I'll come to you, but...
So hang on, he's got a £1.2 million release clause. That's not much, like, that's really low.
There's a caveat to it.
Right.
And the caveat is that it's... to Premier League clubs.
Oh, okay. So it's that concept of I should be playing higher. If you sign me, then if someone bigger comes in, that
yeah,
makes sense.
And I guess it's to justify the drop down from Tottenham to Millwall. I mean, yeah. you'd want to play there anyway, so you want to make an exit plan, right?
Absolutely.
So look, yes, there is a legitimate interest. I don't believe we've got any further with this, but Sunderland, Leeds and Burnley have also been keen,
right.
As have quite a few other clubs by all accounts. There is a lot of talk around at the moment that he actually prefers a switch to Germany or France, but I don't believe that achieves anything because if it's a Premier League clause, then they won't activate the clause. No. They're going to have to pay some money. But we know that Millwall are willing to sell players because we've just bought one.
Does Tanganga get into your starting 11 then?
Well,
obviously with Mark Gahey goes, I appreciate
it. If Mark Gahey goes, I still think that our existing central defenders would probably take preference right. over Tanganga. But yeah. again, look, I haven't seen him in a Palace shirt and playing our system. I think that he would certainly be part of that squad. We're going to need a bigger squad, right?
Yeah, no, I was just thinking it from the players' side. Like, going to Palace, would you say yes, knowing that you might not be... the first choice, if that makes sense. I'm just wondering.
I would if I'm playing at Millwall. And that jokes aside, I would. You would take an opportunity to fight for that place and play potentially in Europa League and all the other things.
And I think, realistically, all jokes aside, it's a relatively stable club in the Premier League. It's not like if other teams like Sunderland or Burnley, the ones that have just come up, want it. You're risking the concept just coming straight back down anyway, aren't you? So
I mean, look, I think that Richards. And Lacroix would probably take preference in terms of them two centre backs. Even you know, like when Gay was injured, they did really well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think anyone who comes in is going to have to fight for that. Obviously, we discussed another couple of options last week, which I think are more likely, to be honest with you, than Tanganga. But anyway, they're the only two
okay.
as of Tuesday.
at about 9 o'clock that we can come up with. Truthfully, I'm not convinced either of them are going to come off. But the only one that is going to come off is our new keeper, Benitez. What about you?
I've pulled out maybe two other rumours, and they've sort of been going for a little while. So one is, I'm going to struggle to pronounce these names. So I think it's Cubano, who is playing for Botafogo.
Oh, he's one of, bloody Texter again, isn't it?
Yeah, I was just about to talk about him. So he is a left back or left midfield, left sided player. Let's put it that way. He gets up and down the wing a lot. 22 years old. We were connected to him, I would say, maybe a month ago, right at the end of the actual season. And then there were lots of reports saying that Forest have actually agreed a fee for three Botafogo players. So a triple signing, and him being one of those three, all in this one big, huge deal, which is a really strange thing to see. I don't think I ever remember a triple deal before. But so there's this big talk around this deal coming out. And even Fabrizio has talked about it as well, as it's this happening. So I thought that this rumour had gone dead, therefore.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday, or this weekend as well, there were some reports that the owner of Botafogo, a certain John Texter, as we've just mentioned, I'm sure you've heard of him, yeah?
Yeah.
has been quoted as saying that Cubano was no longer part of that triple transfer to Nottingham Forest and that he will be staying at the club. Now, I wonder if that's just a whole, well, no, we've had a better deal for that one player, so we're going to sell him separately.
Neil, it's because he got his cartridge pen out and started writing letters to UEFA. Come on.
Exactly. It could be, couldn't it? I'm wondering. But, you know, there are rumours also that Brighton have a better salary offer, therefore, for this one player. So the player side is pushing for it as well.
Okay.
I still really unconfirmed, but it's the closest one that I've got out there that I can see. And if Purvis does go, then having somebody that's left-sided, left wing-back sort of area is probably a need to at least try and back up and have a squad player that's naturally left-sided. So that's
interesting
one.
That is there, given the news that you did in, yeah. Do you know what I mean, earlier.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
No smoke Maybe. Without fire.
And then last but not least, the other one that there's been a few conversations about that I can see as well is a player by the name of Azzedine Unahi.
Oh,
Moroccan. Now, he was quite big at the last World Cup, had a huge tournament. Morocco obviously getting quite far into the
yeah,
tournament.
Yeah, they did well.
Yeah, midfielder and like an all-rounder, really, you know, central midfield, central defence, central attacking, just basically an up-and-downer, one of those that has legs. 6 foot, 25-year-old, bit more experience. Currently on Marseille's books, but was on loan last season at Panathinaikos. He had 25 appearances all season. Reports are that he's agreed personal terms with Brighton, but that they haven't actually contacted the club to discuss things. And I think I probably know why, because there's other rumours saying that because he was on loan at the Greeks, that he's got a buy option on that loan,
right.
loan. So they're probably waiting till the end of the loan official period, which would be June the 30th, for that to finish. He would then officially go back to Marseille and be in Marseille, and then they will probably maybe have those discussions then. So we'll wait and see. I would expect no news on this one probably until right near the end of the month, beginning of July, if that's going to happen at all. It's 2 years left on his contract at that point as well. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Also picked up a little quote today from...
Loves a quote.
I love a quote from Tony Bloom, who was at the horse racing this week. Mm-hmm. And they spoke to him a quick moment about the horses, because he's obviously a horse owner as well.
Yeah.
But they did mention Brighton and asked him a few questions. And one of the quotes that came out was saying that he doesn't expect to make it too much more business incoming in the transfer market, as we've done a lot of our business early, as we've just been talking about. So I think if we do see any more incomings for Brighton, it's because something has happened and a player has left that maybe wasn't quite the plan. So we will see. Those are the two that I will talk about. All the others are really way out there, and I'm not expecting anything else to happen.
Okay, I'll tell you what I have picked up from this podcast, Neil, is that your scouting network sat down, the head of scouting at Brighton sat his team down and went, right, new players, where are we going, guys? A couple of them sat at the back of the room and went, fancy a nice holiday to Greece. Went out to Greece on a nice holiday, went to Panathinaikos, had a little scout of your potential new player there, picked up a couple of kids from the local school on the way back, signed them for 30 million, and managed to do a bit of work whilst on their little jolly. It does sound, joke aside, like you're scouting in places potentially that other people might not be, which is interesting.
I think on a more general point as well, they do look from a marketing point of view, a brand perspective, to suddenly get two young Greek, the future of Greek football into our team means that we're going to suddenly get a lot more interest from other countries that are looking at us. And now the Greeks are now looking at us like we did with Mitoma. We had such an influx of tourism and people coming to the team, coming to the stadium to watch the games from other countries like Japan, bigger following, all that sort of stuff. I think it's a branding thing as well. You get players in from different parts of the world, suddenly it raises the profile of the club. And it does make it easier longer term in the transfer market as well, because you're more known for different getting those players in. So, yeah, I think they do a great job. And I'm always, so far, I've got nothing to ever complain about. I trust the process. And so, yeah, seeing all those people go out on their jollies, they can have those jollies. If they bring the gems back, I'm happy.
Yeah, nice one.
And that's a wrap for another episode of Seagull Eagle. Thanks for joining us, as we appreciate every one of you. And don't forget to hit follow so you never miss an episode. You can follow us on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram and X. Got something to say? Good, we want to hear it. Drop us an email at seagulleaglepodcast@gmail.com. And we'll be back next week with big transfer news, big opinions and even bigger meltdowns.
See you next week. Until then, up the Eagles!
See ya!